meant what I said.
Mariah Carey's back in the house. I'm so dead. Wow, so this is how we're starting.
That's what's up.
Unfortunately, that's all we've got. Okay, welcome back, girls and gays.
Welcome back, girls and gays.
Andrew?
Andrew. I've already done my intro. why does your voice all of a sudden change? Like,
who's mine?
Hey, you were busy me like,
No, this is my podcast voice. Welcome back to I Said What I Said. I am your host, Mukundwa, and this is my co-host. I'm trying to be professional. This is my co-host, Nyakwezi.
Hi.
We are joined by the wonderful Andrew.
Tastemaker.
I don't say those words anymore because apparently I use the same are those adjectives.
Which so means
I
no can't. One's a tastemaker.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You have.
No one's illustrious.
Oh, I thought you wanted them.
Also.
No.
Oh, please go get them.
Oh my god, is that. Oh gosh. Also, why is Nyakwezi still here? Are we not going to dress?
That's
true. Are we not going to? Did you guys go through the previous? Did you guys not go through the previous episodes?
Every time you come here, you try to kick me off my podcast. Andy.
No, I just want the viewers to not be confused because, I mean, the listeners.
That's true.
Our listeners are higher level. They did maths. You know, in matric, when you do normal maths and then you do higher.
I know
level.
No other maths. I just know higher grade.
Really? I did studies. I did one below.
Oh, so comprehension tests.
That is literally offensive. Welcome back.
Who allowed you to do math studies?
Oh my god.
Welcome back to our
Paul
podcast.
Did not know, right?
I did the British system, so I'm better than everyone.
Can I just wrap up the beginning of this?
How's that working out for you?
I'm in the gutter, bro. Okay.
Well, welcome back to this podcast where we bridge the gap between where we are and where we want to be. Nyak, stop laughing. Where we are, we want to be. And enjoy... Nyak, you've actually confused me now. And invite you to be on this journey with us. So today we are discussing activism.
Yes.
We're discussing online activism. We're discussing performativity, charity, and ourselves. And how this all intersects with the internet. Mm-hmm. So the reason why we have Andrew, besides him being just...
A tastemaker.
Is because I think you work in an adjacent space. So we wanted to chat about that briefly. Mm-hmm. But let's start with some thoughts I have on activism. So I ran a poll and some like questions on my Instagram and gathered some data. Obviously, very small sample size, not very reliable, but still, we're going to use it anyway.
But it is now empirical.
It is now empirical evidence.
You said what you said, boo.
I said what I said. So I just want to start with some of the things I think about activism, just to frame the conversation and also give rise to some ideas you both might have.
Did you say rise or rise?
Give rise. Mm-hmm. R-I-S-E.
Rise.
I feel like I'm consistently disrespected on this when it's you two.
No.
I'm always on your side.
That's true. No, you are.
Really comes for me the most.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, no.
So, are we being serious? Can I continue?
Oh, activism. Yes.
Activism. Okay, so I think that the 24-hour news cycle is harmful. I think the issue with like this constant cycle of catastrophe and death and violence, which is all accurate and happening... I don't understand the intention of the news. Mm. And I know that sounds strange, but really, what is the intention of this like consistent drone of news? And I also think that humans weren't created. I think our empathy cells are fried. Our synapses are just gone. They've left the room.
Yeah.
I think we only have the capacity to look out for our communities. And I think because we're so bombarded by just an overwhelming amount of violence that is happening, we actually have less of a capacity to care because now it's mundane. Mm. I also think that activism, especially when it intersects with online, can be out of guilt and self-congratulating exercise. I posted, I changed my profile picture, yeah. I've done my work. And I wonder if that's an issue. I wonder if the internet has been really beneficial in outreach and spreading knowledge, but also really harmful in that we've become complacent. I also have just a general question, and maybe this is really geared to Andrew because you are in that space, about the futility of aid and caring and charity. I think that a lot of the reason that the world is in flames is because of some of the structures we've created, namely capitalism, patriarchy, and whiteness. And I think when we treat the symptoms, which is the fallout, the violence in the world, it kind of is not futile, but I think the only time suffering will end is if we are willing to dismantle all these structures. And I don't think we have the capacity or the interest. And so I wonder, I'm interested about why we're concerned with then like the symptoms, the people suffering and not the actual system that causes it, or whether we are. So I want to discuss that. And then finally, I wonder if online activism really reaches the people it's meant to. Somebody responded to my question about is donating the highest form of activism, is putting your money where your mouth is the highest form. And they said, well, you know, I might not have the money to, but at least I can retweet and repost. And someone who does have the finances can. And I wonder if that's how we all think. We all think, well, I can't afford it, but let me just repost and someone else will see it.
Right.
And then we all become complacent because everyone just reposts because there must be someone with money who can. And I think, again, I'm really curious to see whether the internet has just made us a bit lazy and complacent about how we help. And finally, I think on a personal level, I don't engage with anything I can't do something about. And I think that's a blessing and a curse. I can see why that's problematic, even on like a personal level in my life. But if I cannot specifically help with Sudan, help with Boko Haram, help, I don't want to engage, because then I'm kind of traumatizing myself for nothing. I think if I'm willing to put my money down, my time down, if I'm willing to engage in ways that I feel have direct or at least like 2 degrees of separation from the impact I want to make, I don't understand why I should engage and kind of traumatize myself. I don't see who benefits. Yeah. And I think, and finally, for real now, I think I'm a believer in microactivism. So I believe kindness, compassion, and authenticity our activism, and that we should kind of look after our neighbors. So I think I should be concerned with, like, forget even South Africa, Randburg. Like, I should be looking at the homeless in Randburg, the people suffering in Randburg. What shelters can I go to? What, you know, how can I assist here literally with my neighbors? Because I just don't think I or anyone has the emotional capacity to care for hundreds of violent situations around them across the globe and be impactful. So these are all my opinions, and I hope like they've given, I think that we can kind of spark conversation from there. I'm interested in hearing what you guys all think. So should I like jump off with a question, or do any of you have points you already want to make?
You've said quite a lot of substantial stuff, but then I think just for our purposes, what is your understanding of activism?
And okay.
Let's say someone is sitting and listening, they don't understand what activism
is. Like, define that.
Let's define activism, and then define activism for you.
Okay, okay.
Can I answer how Mukundo answered me last week when I asked her to define something?
Yes. What did I say?
She said, go to Dr. Google.
I said, ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves.
Who's Jeeves?
Don't you remember Ask Jeeves?
Isn't it Google Jesus? Oh,
wow. You guys didn't use Ask Jeeves.
No.
It was
went to school in the United States of South Africa, boo.
No, even me too. Rodine.
For like four seconds.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
You found Jeeves in Switzerland or wherever.
Yeah, that's the most private of private schools as well. That's
very literally exclusive. Like, Switzerland is also like the private school of the world.
Yeah.
It is the private school.
So, like, that's why you have Jeeves. So, leave us alone.
She's trying to flex here as if she's a regular hoe.
Like a regular hoe. So regular, degular hoe.
Listen to these bitches. Bye. Okay, so activism by definition, which I hate definitions, but by definition, is the policy or action of using vigorous campaigning to bring about political or social change.
Okay.
My definition of activism is a like concerted, pointed, specific effort in one direction that is going to benefit somebody else. So I think it's kind of similar. I think it's similar.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think without going into a debate around semantics and, you know, what's the right definition. But if we're going to use then the literal definition that we have, it's really around activism is more around awareness and like rallying people, in hope, or rallying people in a way that it can, bring about tangible change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I disagree with what you're saying, because you mentioned earlier on that you don't want to traumatize yourself, by doing something that you like, maybe a retweet or anything to that effect, that you feel that there's no 2 degrees of separation for effect and impact, right? So then perhaps then what you have a problem with, it's not necessarily activism, because if we activists are doing what they're supposed to be doing, it's really just creating awareness.
Okay.
And then same as then you'll have people who, for example, with HIV, when it started becoming a huge thing, you know, that we really needed like an awareness campaign. We needed activists to say, this thing is real. But then there were other players in the space who were actually then saying, okay, cool, then how, besides awareness, then how do we then come up with medical technology or whatever that's going to like help us? So maybe just so that we also just be clear about that.
So meaning that activism is tiered, like there's awareness and there's actioners.
There's actioners, who actually do stuff. And then I think also kind of when you look at the value chain of the whole thing, everything kind of has its split, has its space.
Okay.
And so then perhaps maybe where you find like at the... at the wherever on the value chain where you find yourself in activism, it might not necessarily be where you find it's most impactful.
Okay.
But then also at the same time, you know, not to be that girl. You remember the first time I came in my podcast and I was chatting to you guys about my whole Sangoma experience.
Yes, and she was
just like to me, you know, everyone actually needs to look out for themselves.
Yes.
So then I also even say, you're just like, let alone South Africa, you must look in Randburg. I was just like, actually, fuck Randburg. Like, where are you in this whole ecosystem? Because possibly you can find that perhaps even in your reluctance to be an activist, You can't even give a piece of yourself to a cause that's greater than yourself yet, because like, you know, your cup does not even have a drop. It's literally in the washer.
Yeah.
It's in the washer.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
So I think that's one. But then in terms of the value of activism, I think another thing that I really do believe in is, consciousness is such a gift. You know, awareness is also a gift. It's really, for a lot of the times, as much as there's not a tangible step or, I mean, a tangible outcome that you can feel and touch, or there's not a grain of rice that's going to a household. But, I think that awareness is really the first step. And what is really then not impactful is then us sitting saying we don't want to traumatize ourselves, or us not doing anything, or us doing performative activism. You know, if you haven't done the work inside of yourself, there's really nothing you can give to anyone. That's why, you know, aid and all of these things end up bombing out. You know, I mean, Dambisa Moyo wrote a book around how aid creates dependency.
Yeah.
Is that dead aid?
Yeah, that's dead aid. Mm-hmm. Around how aid creates dependency, because it was just kind of like, okay, cool, international relations. We have to create good relations. And also we extorting these countries in Africa. So then let's just like ease our guilt by throwing them a grain of rice.
Mm.
And it just also goes to show what the type of leadership that we have in the country. I mean, leadership really does not matter which school you went to or whatever. When you're a public servant, your core role is to be of service to your people.
Right.
And that is a calling. It's not a career. You can make money out of it, but it really is a calling. And at the same time, and I think, that's kind of where the intersection between the activism and spirituality kind of comes into play.
So then why should for both of you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, two questions. Number one, is activism tiered? Is some activism more important than others? Is activism of the self, me learning to love myself, more or less important than there's a country's on fire, a neighboring country, and I should contribute somehow? Is one more important than the other?
I wouldn't say, I was not thinking of tiered in that sense when you said tiered, right?
Mm.
I was just, if you look at a value chain, is every piece, every link matters to this bigger picture.
Okay.
Just because you're the last chain that's going to create this, you does not make you the most important one. Like
right.
without the other ones.
Okay.
So it's not tiered in that sense. I think, and it's a very nuanced space, because I know, I mean, this was brought on around, obviously, there's a lot happening in the world right now.
Yes.
There's Sudan,
There's literally
everything happening. But I think every piece does matter. Every piece does matter. And, if we want to talk about like, is it effective? Then maybe you must question like, what is an effective activism for you? And then you go and make it happen.
Yes, absolutely. And I think my question really is around like, are we being internet activism? Are we being lazy? Is a retweet, is a repost, is changing my profile picture, absolving myself, saying, okay, I've done something. I see all my friends have done it. Fuck, I have to do it too. Let me do it. But let me not reach in my pockets.
Well, okay. So how I feel about that is I feel that the internet is a new frontier that we've never had to negotiate before the last like 20 years. Mm. And we've been in existence for, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands.
Too long.
Very long.
Humans.
So, yeah, humans.
Too long.
The way we do our search.
The world should go away with us. Do away with us.
Honestly. So because it feels like, and it's something that we can't touch. So immediately we've associated it with being superficial. And we take away the real impact that the internet has. So whereas we used to talk to our neighbor and have this conversation, did you know that my country back home is burning? Like, isn't that crazy? And we would have a meaningful conversation and be happy with our conversation, or at least it would have led to something. Now, because it's on the internet, it's like, well, it's superficial. What did you really do? Like, it's on the internet. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't put it down. So I think we negate a lot of the impact that our now connectivity with the whole world has, albeit superficial in inverted commas. So
interesting.
Yeah. So I think
I like that.
So acknowledging how important the internet is and has become and can be, just like we can gossip and have a useless conversation in person, you can do that on the internet.
Exactly. Right? Actually, girl, you're right? onto something.
I do believe that it is a springboard for other things, or it is a way to amplify things. So I think just the conversation, if that's all you have capacity for, once you've tended to your cup, you've taken your cup out the washer, there's hardly anything in it. If you can just have a conversation and it feels right too, and you have that, then I think you've done your bit for you. Because I think another thing that we ignore is the energy, is energies of things.
Absolutely.
Like where we come from. Absolutely. You know, like the beginning of stuff. And just like an intention or thought or prayer or all these things have so much impact. And because we can't put a dollar value on it in this capitalist system, we think it's worth nothing.
Nothing.
But you never know what your thought might inspire. Someone else might, you know, be inspired to donate or to give or whatever it is. So
someone had a post. There was a post about Sudan. Someone said, "Your prayers aren't feeding anybody. Like, I don't need your prayers. I need your money." I'm summarizing.
Yeah.
So how?
I don't have money to give you for food.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I gasped. Yeah. Wait. So okay. So what do we? How do we feel about? Because I was like, accurate. But also a bit one-dimensional, that there's... I can understand that perspective, but I also think that... I think maybe, as you said, that is negating... Or maybe it's belief systems. That's negating the power of, consciousness and energy in one direction.
But it also goes... But then it's all the people that Andrew was talking about who just swoop in with their grains of rice. And, and then when they leave, it hasn't improved anything on the ground. Like, so there is... They can do those actions, but there's something missing.
So...
I mean, and this is me with a full belly.
Right.
A full-ass belly. What did you eat today? Croissants? Two? Or was it one or two?
It was a third of a chocolate, gluten-free chocolate croissant.
Yeah. I had a fruit basket. Because, you know, summer bodies.
Ooh. Made in winter.
Gluten-free.
Ain't that the truth? But yeah, so, I mean, Mkundo, I know I'm quite jaded because I have like two minds about it, and having worked, I mean, Nyakwezi, you've also worked in the development space, and we've just kind of seen, whether we like it or not, the NPO and NGO sector was obviously built out of, perhaps kind of like civilians, wanting to actually kind of like create true impact on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. So you have all of these kind of like corporate funders, and they're just like, you guys go and implement. But then all of this was done through the lens of, you know, quite a capitalist system. Mm-hmm. That's why we still have public servants, not that they shouldn't be paid, but then that's why we have public servants who sitting quite high up in government and in these international donors and making quite a lot of money because of the work that they're supposedly doing.
It's obscene amounts of money.
Yeah. It is absolutely crazy. And so then you start to ask yourself, like, how can I... Not that you can't solve for something you haven't experienced, but like, let's be honest, you really can't. Like, if I was born bread and butter, the child of a diplomat, and now I'm going to work at WHO or whatever, and I can have sympathy for it, but I don't understand the texture and the nuances of that space. I don't understand, also don't, sometimes you don't understand systemically what are really the dysfunctions, right?
Because absolutely.
A lot of the time, the people that we advocate for, whatever, the beneficiaries, as they're called in the sector, they really don't have a seat on the table.
But that's so not my question. We're
designing with what we think should be the in mind.
Very
paternalistic. Which is very paternalistic.
Exactly. We're not asking communities what they want. We're assuming.
Can I say, this is why the U.S. hates Rwanda in terms of the, because Rwanda's like, no. Mm. We don't want your money to go to whatever. We want you to fix our water. If you don't want to give us money for water, you can fuck off. Thank absolutely. You. Keep your money.
Yeah. Very specific.
Mm. I worked on a project years ago in the Northern Cape, and the idea was, okay, cool, let's create these community development trusts and, which, great, let's have something in writing as policy for these big corporates to directly have the community as a beneficiary, right? Mm. But the people there, I mean, we did on the ground research. People are just like, just give us money. And it was actually so weird. It's just that you can't put that in a professional paper. But in my head, I remember thinking to myself, I was just like, actually, when you're worried about bread, you really don't care about going to a hub and getting computer skills hope that they will. No, like there's literally no food in my belly. There's no lights in my house. I am cold, you know? And it was so weird. In some weird way, we realized that after doing a little bit of a study that, for example, if we were to just maybe give people, maybe for the next 10 years, a little stipend, whatever, you can't control how people spend their money, but let's make reasonable assumptions that increases household income and that money will be better served than spending $1 million to build a center. Right. And so it's a long ass thing. But what I'm saying is that a lot of the times, even I think in our activism here, it's quite reactive. Like we can see, we're like, okay, cool shit. This is happening in Sudan. This is happening in Rwanda. But I don't know if a lot of the time we just sit back and say, okay, cool, guys, before I go and become a keyboard warrior or start a charity or whatever, like, where can I create the most amount of impact? And sometimes as simple as saying, okay, cool, maybe people just need fucking money to take buses and get out of that crazy city. But we're not there. We always have the same type of solutions. We're doing a fundraising, we're taking bags, food, always, you know, there because we're such a reactive society.
Yeah. And I think that's also because it comes out of guilt and...
Guilt, yeah.
A weird... Somebody asked me, I mean, just a really weird sense of, if you don't have what I have, you must be suffering. And so let me give you what I have. So that means you must need furniture, you must need a kennel. There's this organization... should I talk about it? No, we know this person. What I will say is they go into townships and they make state of the art, like small homes for the animals that people in the.
Fuck it. Let's move. Change topic. I'm leaving.
And then.
That's not even the punchline.
That's not in the punchline.
Oh no. So they make these
incredible artisanal, homes for the animals outside.
Fuck off.
And they said, yeah, but the people get so mad. So we have to like give them like some money for bread or something.
Yeah. So we also give them
food. And again, like, it's this assumption that you would be upset if your animal didn't have a home. Yeah. So you've assumed that this is what people want instead of going and asking. And that's why for me, intention really matters. And if you're giving out of guilt, if you're helping out of guilt, helping? And this is where I think not just these people, but a lot of our activism comes from is guilt from having. And it's like, stop being, I just feel like it doesn't help when you're guilty for having privilege. It doesn't help anybody. You can use your privilege to uplift if you want to. You can enjoy it alone if you want to. But when it's guilt that propels you to assist, it shows in the impact. It absolutely shows. And you just get artisanal dog kennels and people who are hungry because you've completely misread. You haven't thought to ask first.
I am so upset. I heard nothing
else. I know. And it's red. I mean, we can guess. I know. We can guess the race, but that's not,
I mean, we know it's a Becky. It's a Becky. There's just, come on. I'm not even, it's a Becky.
But so then also what I want to know then, let's, even linking this back to then online and Sudan.
Yeah.
People were changing their profile pictures. And it was a really touching, understanding the backstory of why it was blue and I wouldn't even call him a martyr. Because he didn't really choose to die. He was murdered. The person who was murdered and was a massive activist and like really just pro liberation. Mm. I understand. I really appreciated that backstory. And then when I saw people changing their profile pictures, I thought it was one, then it was two, then it was three, then it was everybody. And I thought, okay, fuck, I need to change mine. And I thought, okay, no. That energy of I need to change mine, meaning everyone's doing it, I'm going to stand out. Basically pressure rather than an interest in participating, but a pressure to conform. Yeah. I was like, well, that intention, no one would know the difference, but that's not okay. And I feel like that is some of the energy that a lot of people retweet, repost and engage is a shame and embarrassment of not being part of that, of a movement or part of, and I just don't think that's, I don't know. I just don't think all help is made equal. I wouldn't really think, I don't think a person out of shame should help because I think it just comes out in the impact.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it does.
No, and I mean, I agree with you. I mean, to be completely honest, like right now, I mean, I didn't change mine to blue.
Let me save myself real quick before you save yourself.
I haven't changed. I believe personally that, if I can't back up my words with coins, I mustn't say anything. Me personally, I don't think everyone should live by this. Uh-huh. I am not going to repost and retweet about Sudan unless I put my money there because I have disposed. If I can have money to buy that chocolate bar checkout, that 12 rand, can't I just give that 12 rand to Sudan as well? That means I have disposable. Mm-hmm. And everyone on my profile is middle class on Instagram. People were saying, okay, I might not have money to donate. I think that's bullshit. I just don't believe that. I don't believe you don't have $1. I don't. Sorry. I think it's priorities, which is okay. You have every right not to. But then to repost and retweet in hopes that someone else can, it's like, well, where are you? Why do you think... I don't know if I believe that awareness is as important as money for people to use on the ground. Your prayers are important. Can you also pay? Can you also pay? Can you also anchor that in payment? Like commit in a way that our... I think commit in a way that our world works. Our world works with money. Can you commit financially?
Also, our world works with money, but then that does not mean the money that you sent will go necessarily where you think it will.
That's not the point, though. The point is for you. You also have to make that commitment.
And also, our world works with money, but there's many other things that works with the world, right? Uh-huh. So there's so many other things that you can do without you necessarily having to put money in there. You could be a cog in the machine that will eventually come out into money, but then to say that back it up with money because Sudan does not only need money.
No, and, not only.
And there's so many other things. Let's talk about waste, right? And okay, I'm going to bring it back to South Africa.
Okay.
Let's talk about waste. Like, I know our restaurants are very much like, okay, cool. They don't give the leftovers to waiters, whatever. Our restaurants, actually, for a lot of it, they throw away food. Mm. And then now they started, there was some guy started this whole thing where he was just like, okay, cool. This is the standard. I will come collect all the food that you don't use and take it to shelters, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
That costs nobody nothing. But then it was a way to actually solve a problem.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. There's still a difference.
Which is?
Is that reposting and retweeting is on one side of the fence, whereas donating your time... So that person has said, okay, I'm a banker. So I'm going to have to make a plan. I'm going to have to go part-time or ask to knock off early so that I can start this organization and at 3 o'clock every day, go get the food. They have committed in a way that has tangible for the people on the ground effects. My prayers and my retweets here aren't directly, or at least aren't intentionally even myself, directly linked to who am I benefiting on the ground in Sudan. Your money is all you can do. Unless you want to quit your job or take the summer and or you can't even go. There's a travel ban, at least for Americans. Mm. There's only so much you can do, but definitely much more than retweeting and reposting. I just don't believe people should give their money.
I'm with you, and where I disagree, right, is also, I think people, you're contradicting yourself a little bit there. And I'll tell you why, I think, and in the sense that for me, knowing you as, I guess, someone who, you know, respects the spiritual world and you're a spiritual person. And I'm not saying this is the case for everyone, right? So your lens in life is not purely capitalist, although you do see the value of money. So you're not going to be one of those people like the universe will provide. Just like, no, bitch, I got to wake up and do this so that I can enable the universe to provide for me, right?
Yes.
And so then in the same time, then if you're going to say your retreats and your prayers and sending out energies does not work, so then what do you do then with kind of like that inventory, that spiritual inventory that you've built and for it to serve other people?
Yeah, I do it in conjunction. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm saying this is because I'm talking to a middle class audience. All right. Middle class. This podcast is not going to anybody who's, well, maybe people in shelters are listening. I don't know. But it's middle class people.
Yeah, you're a middle class spiritual person.
Exactly. So I have money. I just don't believe this thing of I don't have money to donate.
So what if I don't believe in actually giving money? For example, with Muslims don't believe in believe is a hard word, and I'm gonna Google check this. But they won't give handouts for money. They will rather like give you food.
Okay.
You
know what I'm saying?
That's like that's impactful thing. Still, though. And they write it, and they even like, I remember actually went to Greenside.
Yeah.
There's quite a big Muslim community. So I went there one day to go get food, and they're just saying, based on our law, or whatever, we will not give money handouts. Mm. So please no beggars here, type of thing.
Mm.
And in that sense, and like, I mean, you know, Muslims can have coin. So then,
they're eating.
So then are they then maybe like not necessarily
not at all, because they give it, you said, so they aren't giving finances, but they'll give a care package.
They'll give a care, or they'll give prayers. They will take time
to do prayer. Yeah. Truly, I do believe if everything is energy, and I do believe in the movement, I think prayer is so important because collective, anything done as a collective energetically makes a difference. I think my disappointment was that I was just felt like a lot of middle class people on my page and everywhere rest on their laurels and say, well, I can't do anything. Let me just change my profile picture and that's enough. And then let me just like post some memes about star signs, which is me, everything I do. And like just whatever. And I just think the internet has given us, I believe, and Yak, maybe you disagree, a false sense of us doing, when awareness is important, but challenge yourself to do a bit more. I don't know. I just think... I really question if you're not that you're not giving money. If you're so concerned, if you can spend your whole day retweeting, reposting, blasting my page with all these things, have you given coins? Or are you doing that to say that, to protect yourself, to absolve yourself and say, look, I'm one of the good ones. I've reposted everything. Don't look at me. I've done it. I've followed the trend. Or have you actually put your money in your mouth? Have you made yourself uncomfortable? Have you lost something? Have you given something of yourself, really, besides your finger moving a little bit to repost?
Girl, I prayed. My knees are buckling.
So I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, and I think that I've lost my whole train of thought, and it was so good, but I think it was along the lines of I think that there are extremes, and and like what you're saying, Mukundu, like what are you doing if you're not putting coin down? And I think that has some value when it's tempered a little. So I might not give anything because I think, well, I can't give $1,000, but I don't realize that I can just give one.
I'm starting with $5.
You see, so...
starting with a Wimpy Burger.
Like even that mentality isn't, it's not kind of like widely spread. Like people don't think about just giving the little bit because they're like, what are they going to do with a dollar? Like how is that even going to help them? There's that, but then there's also... there are so many causes in the world. And so are you saying that I just shouldn't engage with the ones that I can't give another dollar to? So if there are 100 causes, I don't have 100 spare dollars. I might have 20.
Okay.
Do I only choose 20 and then the others I ignore?
I personally believe that. Quite literally, I think you just pick the ones and keep it pushing.
Which I get why you're saying that, if I want to pray for more than that, or if I want to just have conversations now about what's happening in China, or, you know, what's happening in Australia, or whatever it is, like, I think it's good and it's fine for me to have those conversations. So I do think that there is like a middle ground that's healthy in that there is a way that I can, without a monetary value, engage with a lot more, but then also realizing that as little as I can give is enough, is fine, is good. It doesn't have to be that big impact. I'm not a big, you know, billionaire philanthropist, and it's fine.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think Mukunda, where maybe we have missed each other a little bit.
Where we left you behind
is like one back to what I said earlier on around kind of like what is the value chain of kind of like activism, the full spectrum of what helps looks like. What if the very varied different things we can do to help?
Yeah.
And some can do it in prayer, and some can do it in actually putting money. Mm. Some can actually doing in like taking time off from work to work at volunteer. There's just so many ways people can do things. But then I think right now, and this does not help the conversation, but then there's really no way of us to be able to measure intention. Based on what we see on social media, unless we engage it, absolutely.
And I think, I think what I'm saying, it's interesting actually, because I think my insecurity is about what it might look like for me. Like, I think it's jumping out. I think, you know, when you assume people's motives, it says a lot about like how you kind of think about things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think me necessarily assuming or feeling like people aren't engaging, assuming people haven't contributed, assuming is actually saying I'm insecure and I feel bad that I could post and not engage. And I've decided that's the highest form of activism and I'm not even living up to it.
Yeah.
So I think actually this is a lot about, it's saying a lot about me. I think it's jumping out my like feelings.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. It is your part. No, but like, but that's true. And I think there is definitely a portion of people who will do it just outside of guilt. But then I think also there are people who, maybe when you see people who don't post and change their status, maybe those could be the one who could actually just be actually doing real work on the ground.
Yeah.
So it's like, babes, I ain't got no time for social media.
Yeah.
So imagine, and not to like stereotype, but I know a lot of my friends, especially those who work in the NGO sectors or whatever, I mean, they have like 4 photos since 2014.
Yeah.
So like literally they are the people who are really like on the ground, like risking it all, taking a shitty salary at home for when these things happen, that they're able to be quite proactive in their approach.
Mm.
So there's also those type of people then that we need to look at. But for as long as it's very difficult for us to measure intent, we might as well, I think, take what we can get from the people, whether the intentions were good or not.
Yeah.
But then there is a fact that, for example, even with the blue, for me, it peaked my attention. It's just there was a lot happening in my life, so I couldn't really engage the story. I just knew it was heavy.
Yeah.
And I think I needed to protect myself a little bit
from
there. But then now that I'm coming kind of like out, I was just like, okay, cool, where are the benefits? Like tomorrow I'm going to a concert. I mean, it's going to be like, what's going to cost me like $10? And I'm just going to go. And that could be my form of activism.
Yeah.
I could possibly give a lot more money than that in a different time of the month. But for now, this is what I can do. And the fact that I still have like my very Photoshop picture on Instagram does not mean that I care less about it. And to Nyakwezi's point that she maybe cares, maybe she cares more about like animals and boutique.
Don't put me. I'm not building candles.
No, no, I'm dead.
But like, let's say you care about a lot of those, and maybe your physical and financial resources goes towards that.
Yeah.
And then if you do have space within your spiritual resources, then that's where you will pray.
Yeah.
Mm. And if you have spaces in your retreats, that's where you will retreat. Mm. But then it does not mean that you care less.
Yeah.
And even if it does mean that, it's just, it's not your place to care for everything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to just say something else on that that did remind me though of this, the praying thing, is that I remember when I, you know, there are two religions that I know. Should I just call names?
Yeah.
So when I was Christian, like praying is all you need to do. And then when I was Baha'i, like it's all about the action.
Mm.
And so it made me think about how sometimes we can just pray and think, no, I've done my part. And we don't actually interrogate really what we're praying for and if there's more we can do if we have the capacity to. So whether or not we had the capacity to when we were praying as Christians, we just didn't do more because, like, I mean, you know, Sunday afternoons is for me.
Exactly.
So I do think intention is humongous. And if we keep ourselves in check, you know, for me to give money might not be wise right now because I don't have the money to give. For you to give money will be wise right now. But then there's some people still who say, all you're doing is giving money. Where is your blood and sweat and tears on the ground?
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
It's a double-edged sword.
Because then all the corporations are just throw money at things to get tax breaks, but also, you know, whatever, it's a million.
Yeah.
That's interesting because there's that which is more valuable, the $5 you give yes. with the intention of actually giving, or the $5 million with the intention of a tax break?
Right.
Mm.
So I'm going to ask you guys some questions. They're kind of rapid fire. Oh, yes.
Sorry.
So I'm going to ask you guys some questions. They're rapid fire from my poll on Insta.
Yeah.
So just answer the question like it's a yes or no.
Okay.
And then you can give up to one line or two if okay. you so feel inclined
okay.
to add some context. Okay. So just consider any national or community crisis for this quest for these questions. Okay. So is activism mandatory?
No.
No.
Why?
Because activism, no, it's not.
That's when things become forced.
That's when things become forced, yeah. and then you start questioning how genuine
yeah.
A person's activism is.
Yeah.
Because if it becomes mandatory, then it becomes also like kind of like a club. So you don't really yeah. apply yourself to it.
Yeah. Is compassion mandatory as a human quality in people?
I think it's a good thing to learn about yeah. and to understand, but I think it's very important to choose compassion, to mm-hmm. learn and then to choose compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Does caring about an issue necessitate engaging with it?
No.
No. Okay. You're allowed to answer two, eh?
Oh, yeah, sure, I will, actually.
Yeah. Because she's rolling her eyes.
I know, I'm rolling my eyes. I agree with everything she's you guys like, said.
She lives with demons.
Do you feel pressured to exhibit your concern through public displays of internet activism?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Me too. Have you ever retweeted or reposted a cause out of fear of being called out for not caring?
Yep.
Yep.
Everyone said 78% said no, and I'm like, you're all liars.
You lying.
They're lying. And yeah, come back, come fight.
They're lying. They are lying. Unless you have like middle class and super woke. Actually post woke.
No, it's not happening.
Like, that's a liar. No. Yeah, that's a total lie.
Yep.
Have you ever pretended to care about an issue out of guilt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had changed my... No.
No.
Now I haven't. But then I know definitely the thought comes
yeah.
comes to mind.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's really funny because I used to... and I know some of your listeners. Shout out to you guys. I have a group of friends who are highly... Or at least present themselves as highly political.
Are you about to lose friends? Think about this.
Yeah. No. This is good to say. And I think what was interesting, I used to feel pressure to engage in the same ways they did
yeah.
in politics, but they were all white.
Yeah.
And I think I couldn't really identify, or now I understand that like a lot of their guilt and feeling that they had to contribute because of what their forefathers did was mm-hmm. jumping out. And that's fair enough because right. that's their journey, and realizing that actually mine was very different. And I yeah. think the way black and brown people engage in systems, it's different because we've only just come up on nice things.
Yeah.
And so we want to like just the rate of when we're going to enjoy them and then eventually or consider dismantling them or consider inconveniencing ourselves to push yeah. them away is very different. It looks different to how white people do.
Yeah. Also, oh, that's you and the environment as well. Mukunda doesn't believe in saving the environment. It's not our business.
Well, I don't believe in anyone from Africa or yeah. actually any brown people engaging besides basically America, China, there are a bunch of others. You guys, this is your issue. And I think global warming is also a colonialist white issue. We've just got independence. We've just got our yeah. chains off. I'm just enjoying some money. Now you're telling me, oh, yeah. the world's ending in 12 years. Contribute.
So no. who fucked up the environment?
Do you know what I mean? Black people who've just been free and not yep. even. They're still slave trades.
Mm.
Yep.
Like, can we enjoy before yeah. we die?
That's seriously, a very dog? Good point. So like, y'all should actually fix it. No.
Fix it. No, yeah. America, fix. China, look busy.
Yeah.
Don't come to me and ask me to help. Why? Andrew, why? Tell me why. And now I have to use paper. No, okay, paper straw, fine. I'll use those.
Yeah.
I'm just mad. Like, why is this my... Why all of a sudden you're appealing to Africa? I also do understand, though, that global warming will make it worse for black... Everyone who's yeah. suffering now will just yeah. suffer more.
Yeah.
But also, they... do you know?
Don't
they
rest
care...
Us.
No, I'm sorry, but like, and I've seen, and even in my stint in corporate, people care... And not all people.
he's gagging. Go in.
And this is... Okay, actually, no. This is fine. Becky's.
Yes.
Mm. They care, animals, all of those things.
Yeah.
They have a space.
Yeah, the empathy, love, the range of empathy.
The empathy. All of that shit, right? But then they will save an animal before they can save another human being.
Yeah.
Let me ask
they
you a question.
They will walk past, they will walk past six white cops in the US somewhere who all have a gun pointing at a young black man and just in their head is just like they're keeping it moving.
Yeah.
This is normal. It's for the safety of our communities.
If that black man is holding a puppy, they will rush in for that puppy.
They will rush for that puppy. Yeah. So then I think as black people also, like, you know, there's the world has taught us that our lives are cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And easy to be wasted.
Yeah.
And then we're constantly getting distracted. Sometimes with, I mean, the environment, we should definitely take care of the environment because we live there. But I don't think as a black people like that, that's nothing new to us. Like we're people of the soil. Like, you know, there's other tribes right now. I was watching a documentary last week. I think it's the Wabe or something between, on the Sahara Desert between Niger and Niger. Niger and something else. And they're still people as well. They live quite nomadic.
Mm-hmm.
Those people live like long, decent lives and they just literally use herbs. They're not exactly. Yeah. So
also, indigenous communities don't waste. We've never wasted.
They don't waste.
Yeah. Exactly. We've never wasted. Even now.
And now it's like, okay, cool. Global warming, da da da. Look at all of these things. And I'm just like, okay, cool, great. Then how about, I'm going to go back to it. Give us back our land so that we're not overpopulated in the peripherals of the city where y'all put us. What the fuck do you think is going to happen if you're going to have six people in like a 50 square meter home, not room, home?
Yeah.
And obviously the wasted. So I am with you on that one in that sense. And then also just back to activism. I think I'm just like, yo, I am. There's a lot of pain in the world.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's an act of self-preservation to just say, that's why I said for me when everything started happening, like my heart bleeds out to them and the best that I can do at this point. But there's just so much. Yeah. And I think as someone who also works in the space, and this might be controversial or whatever, but outside of perhaps like work or whatever, like I'm not taking up too many or if any like charity or whatever work, like my everyday
gotta preserve
is my everyday is kind of like saying, okay, cool, how do we solve it? Like, so I'm just preserving myself and also really like I'm okay. And if someone is so compelled to do something and to create a campaign, like do it, boo, do it for you. My participation matters in the sense of numbers, but then trust me, you would rather have like four people who are really engaged and the intention that they can do so much better than having 10,000 of us who are busy retweeting for this. Because after I retweet, babes, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand. And in many ways, I don't really like thinking, it's hard because my spiritual life really does conflict with my like material life. And I don't really like looking at things across racial lines, but it's a reality.
No, it's a real thing.
But, I think with people of color, I think just looking after your own health, if you never engaged in a charity in your life, if you just looked after yourself, that is a form of activism. It's definitely radical, self-care and looking after yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For the white girls and boys, it's also radical, but I don't know your story. It's different. You guys come from a history of terrorism and genocide. So that's, I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know what to tell white people or people who kind of built whiteness as a structure. But I also just think, my friend asked me, they said, I wrote a guide on how to basically enjoy your life, which just means find joy. If you don't like something, don't do it. Find the best ways you can have fun.
That's the best advice ever.
It's the best advice ever.
If you don't like something, don't do it. Don't want to be there, don't go.
And so she asked me, she said, how do you reconcile this with your privilege? Because not everyone can choose not to engage in certain jobs, choose not to have certain friends, and you're privileged. So how do you engage? And I said, personally, I understand what you mean, but first of all, I'm engaging within my lane. So that's not a message I'd necessarily, I'm not going into my village and talking about this. I'm talking about this on Instagram with other people who are at my intersection because that's our lifestyle. But finally, my parents and anyone who's in my age bracket, if you're a kid between kind of 20 and 40, your parents, if you're not white, quite literally dodged bullets and survived some kind of national crisis or genocide so that you could live cushy, so that you could have a memory foam mattress, so that you could have lattes, so that you could have pancakes, and so that you could enjoy middle classness. Your parents paid in blood so that you could have middle classness. So
they did.
And now imagine then your guilt, if you're going to think of but what I'm saying is, as white people, the white guilt is like, okay, cool, we had this privilege, so let's do X, Y, and Z. You as a black person, fine, I currently have privilege, but then because if you're literally the first generation of middle class black people, you still have poverty.
Your cousins. So your cousins.
And so a lot of the time we operate under anxiety to not go back there because
we're so close.
Poverty, we're so close to it. Yeah. But then at the same time, it's kind of like, we also push ourselves so hard because I can't fuck it up because of if my parents went through the most and I'm sitting here cushy and I'm busy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then that's why we can't engage with white guilt and white issues.
No. It's very different. Can't. And so if you're white and listening, your experience of guilt and charity and activism might look different to what we're talking about. Yeah. Not to say you're not absolved, but all I can say is for people of color, if you want to rest, if you want to take a break, if that breaks a week, a month, a year, your lifetime, you are allowed. People paid in blood. Yeah. If you're white, it looks different. And maybe a podcast or an episode from white people by white people speaking to this might speak to more. I don't think necessarily you guys can rest.
I feel like they've had a 400-year rest.
You've had hundreds of years of rest.
From the beginning of time, rest.
Yeah, and there's a big difference between, if you also track your wealth, because another friend of mine came into my inbox, was feeling guilty. And the difference is where my parents got their wealth is very different to where your white parents got their wealth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so your historical inheritance, spiritually, so energetically and also literally, I don't believe in guilt, but if you're feeling uncomfortable, interrogate that. Mm. I will never feel uncomfortable for what I have, for buying my hand creams from Belize. Yeah, I'll never, absolutely. Or from Lossy 10, I'll never feel, hey, I'm leaning into capitalism. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Mm. People paid for this in blood, hey, my ancestors paid.
Capitalism was built on the backs of our ancestors.
Yeah.
So.
Wasn't our great granddad got shot? He carried a spear and got shot by the white people who came on the shores.
Yeah, he came to welcome the white people that arrived on the shores. They did a dance. They thought he was attacking them and they shot him.
And they shot him.
Now we don't have a great grandfather.
Well, he was going to be dead by now.
But then.
Still.
Okay, yeah, no.
Come on. You don't even have a photo.
So, and your dad, what your dad was doing, and not necessarily his fault, but he.
So, Andrew, we can hear that on.
This is why we don't have blacks on our podcast.
I'm dead. Yours might have, if they were farmers in Zimbabwe, sure, maybe they were born into it, they didn't know better, but they inherited workers for very cheap or free, got land. It was built on oppression in some sort. So, your struggle is different. Interrogate that.
Yeah, because
if you want to. The Queen of England,
all of that was just, okay, anyway, let's not go there.
And can I just say one thing, right? It's, again, do you. I think also sometimes I was listening to one of my other favorite podcasts, The Read, and some white woman called and she was just kind of like white guilting, but like trying to be like, oh, I would love for white people to listen in your whatever. And they were just like, honey, this was not made for you. For black people. Black people. This was like a
FUBU
movement. Thanks for loving our podcast. Thanks for wanting your white people to listen. But
this I don't know if I agree with that.
And let me tell you why.
Yeah.
And because now in my older age, do you focus on yourself? When you're interrogating your guilt, don't interrogate it in relation to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless it's something that's going to directly affect me.
Okay.
And then if you are driving from the airport, going past Langa or whatever to your house in Camps Bay, don't sit there and be like, oh my God, these houses really need fences. Just because your house needs a fence, literally go inside the community if you read. Like, interrogate firstly, why do I care about that? And if it's a guilt, go do it away from me. And also, can we also just be left alone? Because sometimes, I think also as black people, literally we get dragged into things.
Just leave us alone.
Like, we're literally just chilling. Now, I saw there was an article that came out that says, study that comes out that the majority of more white people have experienced racism in South Africa than black people. I was just like, I was like, Becky, Peter, Johannes, leave us alone. We're doing fine. The thing is, and also, we can call when we need you, which I highly doubt. All we want is our things.
Wow.
You know? And that's now powerful. It's like they're saying, you know, South Africa, we've disrupted and da da da. But we don't know what imploding or exploding or disrupt is by us. You know? And
that's
and
very true.
Everyone just focus on, if you want to be an actor, go activate. But then like, remove, don't come for me if yeah. if I'm not doing that. Mm, but also yeah. once you start coming then in our community and you're going to say, what is, did you see those ads on the highway about, neutering dogs or whatever, vaccination
no,
for dogs?
No, really.
Dogs in Soweto are da 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 da. Let's help vaccinate dogs in Soweto. It's an actual real ad.
Oh my God.
I will find it on the Googles or what?
Amazing. Jesus. On Ask
Do Jeeves. All the kids have their flu shots?
Oh, so no. It's about the dogs. Bitch.
I told you things and animals matter more than human beings.
And for
black people, because our bodies were constantly under attack, yeah. and it's not just, I think everything, every living organism or whatever species in those world perhaps has its space, but then we are the actual, like, kind of like first animals to be, like, constantly under siege. Like, we yeah, were
really,
like, in this world. So then we will still care about our animals. Like, guys, we didn't have fucking feedlots back in the Hisa. We have feedlots now. And now we start, well, now white people are like, organic meat, ethical care, whatever.
No, stop.
We just I like, can't. Bitch, no. Like, if we look back in history, you cannot, now that I'm out here just trying to feed my family,
yeah.
you're going to look at me squafty because I went to go buy bulk meat at yeah. A boxer or yeah. whatever. Now, I don't care about the environment. Let's all be vegetarian. Cool story, bro. Yeah. But then we wouldn't be in this shithole if it wasn't for capitalism.
Thank you.
Show me a black person who started capitalism.
Thank you.
Plus that white man who discovered America like there were no people there. Jesus Christ.
And you know what?
You can add, because we're wrapping up, so you have a minute. Yeah.
Oh, I want to talk about the news cycle. That's such an important thing for me.
Okay.
Because I think it is incredibly contrived. I think opting out of the news is not only an option, but is healthy and good.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's been amazing because it isn't the news. It's a particular perspective that I think feeds into probably a capitalist, I just believe capitalism is like the devil behind everything, agenda that keeps us scared, guilty, wary, putting money into organizations that can prevent us from being killed or hurt or what. Like, it's not a helpful machine.
So it's fear-mongering.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, intentions. Yeah. What's the intention of the new cycle?
Yeah.
I can ask you a question, right?
Yes.
Quickly. I know we're running out of time, but you can edit. That's why you're here.
We have 1 minute. Go
okay,
ahead.
Cool. What are, one, some of the things that are most causes or issues that are most close to your heart?
Yeah.
And what does then impact look like for you?
I love that. Closest to my heart is I want people to know that they are infinite and can do anything. And so that goes across gender and racial barriers.
Yeah.
That means the most to me when people know that they're infinite and they have control.
Yeah.
As much as it seems like they don't, they do. That excites me and that interests me. And that's what kind of my work is about on Instagram, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
That interests me the most. What impact looks like is... really, for me, it's really micro. It's somebody literally DMing me and saying, I never thought I could actually say no to my parents. I never thought I could just ask my friends for what I want. I didn't really believe in myself, but I quit my job now. That matters to me.
Yeah.
And very much like Oprah, she talks about her interest is in elevating stories. And I am too. And I know I'm strongest when I feel connected to that white man, to that straight person, to that Indian guy, to that whatever woman. I feel my best when I'm not in pain at what people who look like you have done to me.
Yeah.
And so for me, I have to stay in that space as much as possible. And for me, that's what impact looks like. I am, of course, concerned with all other issues, but primarily they feel divisive.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when I think about slavery, let's say in America, I get mad at white people, and that makes me, that lowers my vibration, and I'm hurt, and I don't know what to do. And from that space, I'm not effective.
Yeah.
That pain is necessary, or it's real, but I don't like to be in that space. So I do my best, really, to engage in work that says, we're together. You've done shit in the past, or you've done shit and you're doing shit, but we are the same.
Let's keep it going. The essence of what you're saying is that the real cause and issues that really hit with you is around people, right?
Yeah.
The mess of this world and whatever, and the greatness of it that we find ourselves in is mostly because of people and human being.
Yes.
So I think in your own activism and the work that you're doing, you're really kind of like hitting it where it matters the most, because at the core, it's people. And so I think perhaps you can also see even maybe your podcast or whatever as a bigger way of activism, although you might not be not so advanced to be able to see how changing human consciousness can really directly have tangible results to whether it's healing or war or famine or whatever. All of these things are caused by people. The pressure on the environment is caused by people. So I think it's an incredible space that you're entering into. And I think just my hope for, I guess, this journey or the work that you're kind of doing is to actually, once you're able to see the value in changing then that micro activism that you're doing through your podcast or the people that you engage in, it's actually probably you realize we don't need all of these algorithms or master's degrees in development. We could probably just need to see each other. And heal that. Because I think the biggest work needs to happen within people. And even for me, that's where I'm most passionate about. When I say, people development, it's not like, oh, develop you to get a degree. No, it's how do we run back to our, to ourselves and also recognize each other's humanity, right? But then it's through recognizing my own humanity. It's about me first. So I hope this podcast also just kind of like creates that energy stream. And like I say, and I stand by this, is that do you boo and watch how that energy goes out into everyone that you interact with, and always check the intentions of your energy. And I think I think that is more powerful than any PhD or a master's degree or like diplomatic status or being a president, because at the end of the day, for as long as we are people in this world, it will be people ruling this world, and that's where we need to fix. That's what I'm gonna say. That's that.
That is gorgeous.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Wow. Do any of you want to add? I mean, if you have points.
That's perfect. I think that's exactly, that's perfect.
I'll say what I said.
I said what I said.
Or rather, I said what I came here to say.
That's right.
Thank you so much. That is beautiful. On that note, we're going to add Andrew's details in the description box. So that we can continue the conversation on socials. If you have any questions, just DM him, blast him, drag him. And I'll include Nanya.
Come for me.
He's ready.
My account is private, so I'll vet you first.
I'm dead. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
We hope this was interesting. I hope this was... Yeah. I feel like we voiced a lot of, all three of us, opinions that people either don't have words for or don't know how to say because it's a bit awkward, a bit uncomfortable. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.